But we're coming to the end of our study of the book of Ephesians. And we're finishing with a mini-series again. We love our mini-series. But they're very, very important. I hope you have realized that a lot of misinterpretations on key instructions given by the Lord is because people take them out of their context. And so our mini-series help us to stay in the immediate context of sets of instructions. So our new mini-series, which we're finishing with, is titled Standing Strong. And as usual, we have a plan. And we're going to cover the remaining verses of Ephesians, that's Ephesians 10 to 20, in the next, this Sunday and three more Sundays. Today, our focus is stand your ground. Our main text is Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. I read, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Well, somebody might say to me, hang on, this is an altogether meeting and the children are here. You're going to talk about spiritual warfare. Absolutely. It is absolutely crucial that the children understand what they can from this. Especially the sermon, which is going to give an overview gritty detail. Do you know what? Parents and other people around children, they shield them from this aspect of Christian life. But that's very wrong. See, because the devil is an ancient enemy of mankind. He was created and he rebelled before we were created. But he's no respecter of age. He would attack children that have just been conceived, not even been born. And if the parents give him a loophole, he will build skyscrapers in that child, even as a baby. He will do that. So children, are you listening to me? You need to listen and you need to understand. And parents, you need to listen too. We need to expose our children to the truth, even this one. But we have to do it with wisdom and sensitivity. Give them what they cannot carry or handle. But we need to transition them, teach them, and then transition them into fighting for themselves. So even our children in nursery school, they're exposed to all manner of things. You don't know half the things. The things that the government is requiring our children to learn and do. The things they allow teachers to do. Eastern religion being practiced in nursery schools. You need to wake up and see that the children need to know. They need to be able to filter things. But we'll find out as we go on. So children, please don't switch off. This is very, very important for you. All of you, if you can understand what I'm saying now, you will learn something that God will teach you and help you to be safe. Okay? So I hope that your children, can you wave so I know you're listening? Many of them, I can see you are listening. Keep listening, please. You see, there's a song we sing, and I think the children will remember it. Remember that song too. I'm in a fight, but not physical. I'm in a war, but not with this world. Do you remember that song? That's what Paul is telling us. And then we say, we're counting on God. We're counting on God. We're celebrating. And you sing that song. That's exactly what Paul is saying. We're in a fight. It's not a physical one. But we're counting on God. He has given us his full armor. But we've got to know how to be totally in Christ. You see, it's a fight. Now, like boxing. Okay? This is not an ad for boxing. So no anybody and say somebody preached about boxing. Instead of sports. Things like that, because if the maximum damage on your opponent. Other sports, if people get hurt, is incidental, but you punch their head, detach their knife, and knock them. So I don't condone that. But it helps us to understand. I'd like us to have this image in our minds. Children, are you looking at it? What Paul is saying to us, what God is saying to us this morning, is you don't want to be like that person, flat on the ground, defeated. Is there anybody who wants to be that person? Who wants to be the one that's standing strong, standing his ground? I hope everybody wants to be like that. That's what this is about. But these people are fighting a fight that ends. 15 rounds, I'm long. A man. To be defeated. Because we have to be overcomers. We have to be victorious in order to have life everlasting. If we are defeated, the opposite is unthinkable. It is awful. And the main thing that we want to communicate in this particular starting message of Stand Your Ground is to say to you that you should be highly motivated, highly inspired to do whatever it takes to win. Whatever the Bible says you have to do to overcome, it is in your best interest to do it. In order for you to be an overcomer, don't argue with God, because he has the final say. I'd like to also motivate us by looking at the blessings that God, some of the blessings, I can't cover all of it, but some of the blessings that God has promised to those who are victorious. To those who overcome, not those who are defeated. And to do that, we go to the book of Revelation. Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8. I will read verse 7 first. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. See, God is not going to allow every human being to inherit all his blessings forever. Who did he say he will give the blessings to? The victorious, the overcomers. Is he making you think, I'd better be an overcomer? Whatever it takes. And then the opposite is verse 8. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, the murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. There is no middle ground. It's either you're an overcomer, and you inherit all the many blessings of the new heaven and new earth forever. You know, God owns everything. He created everything. And he says, if I adopt you and you're my child and you're victorious, you will inherit everything forever. You'll be my heir, joint heir with Christ. Is it motivating you yet? children and everybody to say, whatever it takes, I am going to win. I'm going to be an overcomer. I'm going to stand my ground. Nothing, no one, and no devil is going to take this from me. I hope you're beginning to think like that. Because the opposite is unthinkable. And this doesn't last for 15 rounds. This one lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. And I often say it, rather than be defeated, it's better for somebody that they were never born. That is a worse fate than never being born. It's being born and not being an overcomer. I hope you're motivated as yet. Now, I want to also give you a few more passages. Now, Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we studied that as a whole series as a church. If you go to our website, it's under the testimony of Jesus. We studied it in detail. Now, this is Jesus writing, dictating letters, information, his assessment, warnings, and blessings to local churches like ours. And I just want to point out a couple of things. Jesus said to the leaders that he was not happy with, and churches that he threatened to close down himself, he said they are tolerating evil within the church. So sometimes when the leaders are tough and they say, we are going to obey God rather than make you feel happy, we better go and repent and fall in line. Because if they don't do it, they will be defeated. So let's pray for our leaders rather than oppose them when they're trying to obey God and do what God says they should do. Because Jesus gave a massive indictment, you can go and read it, to the leaders who tolerated things within the church that God himself said, I hate those things. So think about all the churches that are beginning to redefine gender and all that. Jesus is going to spit them out of his mouth. Do you see what I mean? I say it boldly. They can listen to it. It is the truth. If God says it's bad, and you say it's good, leaders in a local church will say, we're not going to tolerate that. That's what Jesus wants. Okay? Also, Jesus didn't like lukewarmness at all. He says you should either be hot or cold. You should either be an overcomer or a defeated person. But if you think you can hedge your bet, choose what you're going to obey and what you're not going to obey. Because once you start picking and choosing, you are an idol worshiper. You're not a worshiper when you're picking and choosing what you're going to obey. Because the minute you say to God, I don't like that, I'm going to do that, but not that, you're your own God. You're an idol yourself. Do you get it? So Jesus wants complete obedience to him for you to be an overcomer. Children, are you listening about that? You have to be completely obedient. And if you make a mistake, he knows that. But you have to repent very quickly and get back in line. That's how he wants us to live. That's how we must live in Christ. Not doing what we like, but doing what God wants us to do. But in the midst of all that, you see, actually, the lukewarmness, I have to tell you, Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, do you know what he said? He said he's going to spit the person out of his mouth. If you're lukewarm, then you're already defeated. You're either red hot for God or you are defeated. Red hot is the only situation, fully committed, is the only situation that overcomers must be in. Otherwise, you're already defeated. Okay? But Jesus also, for each of the letters he wrote, he gave blessings to those who overcome. I'm just going to read them. If you want to study them, go and study them, or you go to our website to listen to the whole series. I just want to read the blessings. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven. And I will give to each one a white stone. And on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who received it. Who receives it. This is the one I'm going to comment on for the sake of our young people here. Do you know, some of these things you read them, you think, it's great. Then you think, what does it mean? Oh, wonderful blessing. It must be a great blessing, but I don't really get what it means. Now, this is one of those. Until I believe the Lord revealed something to me. Children and adults, actually, who were once children. The children don't believe you were ever a child. But we know we went through those phases. Do you ever think that people around you don't get you? Everybody feels that at some stage they don't really get me. Even your parents, you sometimes think they don't get me. And they're the ones who love you the most in this world. They don't understand me. They don't get me. And then you might get the hump with them. Maybe do the wrong thing and get rebellious because you think they don't get you. Well, they don't really. But you know the interesting thing? As you get older and hopefully wiser, you realize that you don't get yourself. Don't you surprise yourself sometimes? And you think, you know, you don't understand yourself. We don't, really. And there's a deep longing within all of our hearts to be God, for people to really understand who we are. There's a longing for us in our hearts to be all that God created us to be. We may not be able to verbalize it, but sometimes it makes us feel, about life. But you know what? God gets us. And what this is promising is that he's going to give you a name, a new name that completely gets you. Isn't that something to celebrate? It's going to be like drinking fresh water when you're parched. You're going to say, I know who I am now. Now I know fully, even as God knows me, now I know who I am really. Are you not looking forward to that? I am really looking forward to that. You'll be complete. Because you have a new name that defines you in ways that even you don't get. But you will understand it because you've been longing for it all of your life. Praise God for that. So children, don't worry about people who don't get you. We all don't get anything. But God gets us. You take courage in that. And one day you will get yourself fully as well. God will make sure. Praise God. I continue to read. To all who are victorious, who obey me till the very end, to them I will give authority over the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I have received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star, whatever that is. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God. And they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. We not only carry our full identity, but we carry the name of Jesus forever. Praise God. Would you applaud for that? We thank God for that. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Are you motivated yet to tell yourself that is, if we achieve that, that's enough? A resolution in all our hearts, children, adults, a complete, firm resolution that whatever it takes, we're going to be overcomers. We're going to win. We're going to be victorious. And what we want to say is, how can we do this? And we'll unpick that over the next few weeks. But for today, we want to recognize what Paul was saying. Say, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That is not against people, really. When people come against us, there are forces of evil, these powers that are behind the people. So we pray for the people. We show them the truth. We preach the gospel to them. But our fight is not against those people. It's against those spiritual forces of evil behind them. They are rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world and spiritual forces of evil. They are unseen beings, but they coexist with us. See, they're in a different dimension, a spiritual dimension. And sometimes, like the Bible says, we can see into the spiritual world, but we can pray for discernment. Even when we don't see, we discern when God wants us to, what's going on around us. So these beings are not seen, but they're there. And some people get really, really scared of them because from our perspective, they are powerful. And some people wrongly, even Christians, give the impression that there is a struggle going on between God and these powers of evil. Oh, there is no struggle at all. They are minuscule in God's eyes. From our perspective, we have to be very careful because they are powerful. They're more powerful than us. But because we are in Christ Jesus and God is not struggling, God is totally in control of them. The fact that they're still around, God has a reason for that. And I believe that part of it is so we can be tested. So that our faith will prove itself to be genuine. People who think they can do whatever they like because of the grace of God, that is a lie of the enemy. We will be tested to see if we're going to be totally obedient to God till the very end, standing strong, standing our ground, no matter how we're tested. That is what God wants. Because what he's going to give us is massive. And he doesn't want anybody to get in there with their free will, which we'll continue to have, and ruin it again. So they have to be tested here. So there is no struggle between God and these powers of darkness. And to prove that to you, I want to remind you, children, you're still paying attention. Well done, you're doing really well. You probably know the story of Elisha and his servants. All right? Elisha was a prophet of God. He was an overcomer, a man who was totally focused in serving God and won't let anything distract him from serving God. So he had faith in God. He didn't need to see into the spirit world to know, but his servant was a different story. Now, there was a time when a whole army surrounded the place. A whole army came to catch one unarmed prophet called Elisha. They were so scared of him, and they should be, because the powers of heaven were now on his side. So they sent this army, and the servant was quite rightly terrified. But do you know what Elisha told him? Don't be scared. Elisha was totally chilled. This army is surrounded. If one person with a gun comes here, you see fear. Now, this is a whole army coming for Elisha. He was chilled. And he said, oh, for you. He said, Lord, please open his eyes. Elisha didn't ask God to open his own eyes because he knew with the eyes of faith that those that are with him were more than those that were with the army. He said, those that are with the army. Can you see it's not a physical fight he's looking at? He's looking at the evil, unseen forces behind the army. And he said to his servant, the horses and chariots of fire on our side are much more than the one you're seeing physically behind these people in front of you. Don't be scared. And I like this picture. Children, can you look at this? Don't know if it's clear enough. You see, Elisha is not even looking at the horses around. He didn't say, okay, let me see it too, because he knew by faith, even when he couldn't see it physically, that they were there. He was confident. But the servant, all the fear went away. You can see the golden part. That's God's host surrounding Elisha. There's a verse we love in this church. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And fearing God means obeying him completely. The angel of the Lord surrounds that person and delivers them. So Elisha knew that. He was chilled, happy. This is a better picture, isn't it, children? Can you see the horses and chariots of fire there to defend Elisha? And Elisha, in the end, he actually defeated that whole army. But he was kind to them. He fed them. See, he's not fighting against human beings. His battle is with the unseen world. But in that unseen world, you see, there are rulers and authorities influencing this world, spewing poison into this world, into all governments and institutions, and trying to twist people's minds and make them anti-God. That's the fight that is really going on, the fight for eternal life. That's what's really going on. But we need to make up our minds that we will overcome. Now, one more story from the Old Testament. There was a king, good king, Hezekiah, king of Judah, and one brutal army. These people just wake up in their own country and decide they're going to go killing everybody in their own country. And they destroyed so many other nations. They said to Judah, it's your turn now. And they wrote a letter and said, you better surrender, otherwise we're going to kill all of you. So Hezekiah did the right thing. What would many of us do in that situation? We start running helter-skelter. Oh, how many guns do we have? Do we have this? Do we have that? Who are we going to get? Let's get that nation to come and help us and that nation to come. That's what we do when we face trouble. But Hezekiah did the right thing. He humbled himself. He went to God. As a king of a country, he went and knelt before God and put the letter in front of God. When you humble yourself, you receive God's grace. If you stay proud, like we were singing this morning, he resists you. Can you imagine when God Almighty resists you? You're already defeated. If you're proud, you're gone. So we must humble ourselves like Hezekiah. The enemy will like, these unseen spirits will like to wind us up to become proud and rebellious and, you know, stand our ground in the wrong way. But he humbled himself, he prayed. And the Lord sent a prophet. He said, don't worry. Stay cool. Now, this army was 185,000 seasoned, brutal soldiers. It took one angel of God in one night to destroy that whole army. So you know what I'm saying, children? Yes, there are unseen beings. But if you're in Christ Jesus, you don't need to be afraid. Because God won't let them hurt you. But what they do is sneaky. This is the problem. What they do is they tell you lies. Like they told Eve. Did God really say? That's what is going on in our countries today, even in churches. The Lord said something is a sin. The world says it's not. And many churches are now condoning it. Well, they're in big trouble with God. Because he will spit them out. They will be defeated. Grace doesn't cover disobedience. Grace does not cover sin. It does not cover sin. Grace gives you forgiveness, but it doesn't allow you to keep sinning. Grace is not for license. Grace is not for you to live with the way you are and think that the grace of God will allow you to be an overcomer when you are listening to the lies and the deception of the devil that is coming through everywhere. You need to know that the grace of God, the Bible tells us in Titus, God gives us the grace so we can say no. So we can say no to sin. So we can say no to evil and be totally obedient to God. Whatever song you're singing or book you're reading or preaching you're hearing that tells you, oh, the grace of God, you know, you can sin, it's okay. Even if they don't put it like that, they imply it. That is the devil speaking through them. And you need to reject that. So what happens? The devil can't kill all of us because God won't let him. But he'll come and whisper. What he wants is to tell you a lie and deceive you. And once you take that on board, you then destroy yourself. You then shoot yourself. You then become a coward, become immoral, a liar, a cheat. You become an idol worshiper because you've listened to the lie of the devil. It's not him making you do it. He is telling you a lie, which when you believe it, you start doing it yourself. So you're fully responsible. You can't say the devil made me do it. You're responsible. And you're going to answer to God. See, so when we allow that to happen, children, are you still paying attention? Well done. Well done. You're doing really well. When you allow that to happen, you start to do the wrong thing. You start to sin instead of pursuing holiness with all your heart. You start to be afraid of everything instead of the one fear you should have, and that's to fear God so that his angel will encamp around you and protect you and defend you. You start fearing everything else. But you do it to yourself when you listen to these forces. So when we say fight against them, what we need to fight against is the wrong thoughts that we take on board. In order to overcome, don't forget that our motivation is we must overcome by all means. We must be victorious. We must win. And the Bible puts it quite succinctly and simply. Very simply put, but it takes all of our lives to practice it. In James 4:7, the context is that it says we should humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, because God gives grace to the humble. So he said, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That is the order. You submit to God first. And if you're here, you've never actually given your life to Jesus, even if you're a child and you understand what I'm saying, speak to your parents or one of the helpers and teachers in Mini Kids or Kids Club. Tell them you want to give your life over to Jesus. What it means, you repent of your sins. You say all the things, repentance means you're sorry for the things you've done that are contrary, that are not what God wants you to do. You say you're sorry for them. But also it includes making a decision that from now on, till the day you die, that you're going to find out the will of God and you will do it no matter what. That is true repentance. And then you put your faith in Jesus for forgiveness of sin, for salvation. Then you belong to him. He's going to write his name on you when you prove yourself by your obedience to God that you are an overcomer. So you do that, you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit so you can find out the will of God, and the Holy Spirit will help you to do it for the rest of your life. That's how we submit to God. And then you resist the devil. We're going to be talking about that not just today, but over the next few weeks. But you know what? I just thought, children, now I really need you to carry on. I'm sure you've heard this before. Can a child read that out to me, please? Just call it out loudly. Don't mind if it's many. Yeah, go on. Thank you. Zero tolerance. That's how to resist the enemy. Zero tolerance means you don't take anything from the enemy. And I thought I'll tell you a little bit of a story about my experience. So listen. Parents, you can ask the children to tell you back this story to see if they're paying attention now. And then I'm putting you on the spot to give them a reward if they do. So are you going to tell the story? Okay. Now, you know what it's like when it gets warm here. How many people see wood lights everywhere? Yeah. No matter how much you try to keep them out of your house, they find a way. I have a zero tolerance for insects in my house. My reasoning is this. I don't have anything against them, but if they enter my house, they're dead. Extermination. I don't even apologize for it. You see, because my reasoning is this. God has given them more room than me. They can roam outside everywhere. They don't pay mortgage. They don't pay rent. They don't pay bills. And yet in this space that I've worked very hard to call my own, they want to come in there and share it. And I say, no. If they cross the threshold and enter, I will use every means in my disposal to kill them and remove them. That's what I do. Now, this is in a temperate country. Imagine when we lived in a tropic, in a warm country. Now, this is all year round. So even the houses, you have to have, you know, a mesh, fine netting behind the windows to keep the insects out. But even with all that effort, they still come in, don't they? They find a way in. And I had complete zero tolerance for them even then. So I'll tell you something I used to do. If I found the tiniest bit of a roach, you know those tiny ones you think, are they full grown? Are they a different species or what? I find a tiny one in my cupboard. You know what will happen? You can ask him later. All the crockery come out of the cupboard. And I spray all the cupboards with insecticide. We have to leave the house for a few hours. I spray so much of it. And then we leave the house for a few hours, and when we come back, I wash everything to wash off the chemicals. Being a chemist, I know that is dangerous as well. Then I wash all of my crockery and spoons and dry them and put them back. So if I give you food or drink in my house, you can be sure that is clean. What do you think about that? Zero tolerance. But then I visited two people. Now, these people were wealthy. Their problem wasn't poverty. They had big houses. I'm talking about two big mansions, each one of these people, in their own grounds. You have to drive in through the gate, fenced in. And then I followed the hostess into the kitchen. She decided to give us food. She opened her cupboard, and I heard scurrying everywhere, and then I saw two massive cockroaches. And I don't want to tell you. Well, I said what I thought in no uncertain terms. She knew exactly what I thought about that. But you know what bothered me? She wasn't bothered. What bothered me more than seeing those cockroaches was that she wasn't bothered about having them in her house. And so she has an infestation of cockroaches in her cupboard. They've taken over. Well, I couldn't eat or drink in that house. You can't blame me for that, can you? I wouldn't advise you to. But the problem was she wasn't bothered about what was already in her house. And many Christians live like that. Many people have strongholds in their minds already. And they tell you, they say, that's how I am. They accept it as how they are. They're not bothered that the enemy is playing games in their minds. And everybody's got those thought patterns that start to build up from childhood because you were not raised by perfect people. You were not raised in a perfect culture. You're not raised in a perfect environment. So everybody has got those strongholds. But you need to be bothered about them if you want to be an overcomer. You need to say to the Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And God lovingly will show you. He does it lovingly. Like I said, parents should raise their children according to their age. He exposes it. But when he exposes it, you go to war on it. Now, these strongholds are thought patterns and lies that are inside your psyche already, and they're controlling your behavior against the will of God. The things you are now allowing in your life, the things you struggle with, is because of those strongholds that have taken hold. You should be bothered about them. Otherwise, you'll have an infestation, and it will surely take you down at some point. We've seen so many people who will do well for many years, and something takes them down. They do so well for so many years, something takes them down. They are defeated because they were not bothered about thought patterns in their heads. And God would have warned them over and over again about it, and they refused to deal with them. That's how to resist the enemy. Zero tolerance. Very quickly, the other house I went to. You can see I don't like insects, but I particularly dislike cockroaches and a few others, not just them. But this house, I was put in a nice big room, nice furnishings, and I was thinking I'm going to have a luxury sort of time in this nice house for one night. Then when I was about to sleep, something flew across the room. I didn't know cockroaches could fly. Big one. I thought it was like a little angry bird. Just flew whoosh across. I couldn't believe it. I thought, no, how am I going to survive this night? You know what I did in the end? I wrapped myself with a sheet and tucked it in. I covered that. I didn't suffocate, is God's mercy, because nothing was showing. If you walked into the room, because the sheet was white as well, you would think I was a mummy. That's how I slept. That's how I slept the whole night. And then in the morning, I thought, I'm still alive. And then I looked, where did this thing come from? Do you know what? The netting on the window, there was a gash, there was a rip in it that they didn't bother to repair. So it's not just dealing with the strongholds inside. You resist the enemy by putting up filters. Discernment. Children, you need it so much in schools today. They tell you things, they make you practice yoga, they tell you to meditate and, you know, just open your mind to all sorts of rubbish. They tell you there is no gender difference. They tell you, when God said there is a man and there is a woman and that's it. They tell you all sorts of things. You need to have filters. We're not saying fight the teachers. Remember, children, our fight is not against people. Many people go and clobber people on the head and think God says go and fight the people. No, you're not going to be able to stop it. Adults, listen to me too. We're not going to be able to stop it because God said it's going to happen. Read Romans 1. This is the sign that God has given people over to be defeated for all eternity. And they will get worse and worse and worse. Governments and all institutions will be infiltrated. They will get worse. What we're saying is not fight your teachers. It's just you know the truth. Parents, help them to know the truth. God created man and woman. And marriage is only acceptable in God's eyes between a man and a woman. Simple. We thank God for that, for clarity. But let your children know that. Also tell them not to go fighting people in the playground or being rebellious against teachers. Just teach them how to filter. You know, the mesh. Erect the mesh for them. So that, and teach them the truth. It's only when you know the truth that you can refute the lie. If you don't know the truth, everything goes. Children is coming at you from every side. Schools, the books you read, the things you watch, even cartoons have been infiltrated and adulterated. Music, the things you listen to, don't listen to anything that gives you the wrong thing. Anything that gives you something that is contrary to the will of God, delete it. Don't even listen to it. What did we call it? That is the only way to be an overcomer. Zero tolerance for all of this stuff. May God help us. Be alert. That's what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't mess about with words. Listen. If it's got a lie in it, say no to it. Be vigilant. Do not give the devil a foothold. Zero tolerance. Parents, as I finish, you have a big responsibility. There are many children who are struggling because their parents opened the door by not living holy lives themselves, by not submitting to God fully, and by not having zero tolerance for evil. So the enemy enters your home and your children are vulnerable because of you. You're going to answer to God for that because he loves these children. You're custodians of God's children. Take your responsibilities seriously. And for many people, I would say, come out of the fringe. Be fully in. If God is God, then serve him with all your heart, parents. Don't hedge your bets. Don't put your one leg there and one leg there. Serve the Lord with passion, wholeheartedly. Then you can defend not just the current children, but generations to come. Tim and I have been involved in deliverances for many, many years. And we have seen children who have been infiltrated so badly. And sometimes it's what happens generations before them. Somebody opens the door several generations before. Well, you have to stand and say, so far, no further. From me now, I will serve the Lord. My children will serve the Lord. And I'm praying for my children. I tell you, say it many times to encourage grandparents to do that too. Pray for the generations you're not going to meet, because God can show his mercy, he says, to a thousand generations of those who love him. I don't want anybody who comes out of me somehow in generations to come to end up defeated. God forbid. I'm praying for them now. And I'm doing my best to be an overcomer for their sake too. Parents, you also need to train up yourself. And at the right time, with God's wisdom, you need to transition your children into taking responsibility for themselves, because they face things outside that you have no clue about. You need to teach them how to put those filters in. May God help us in the name of Jesus. Children, your parents are trying to help you. Be obedient. We've talked about that when Additional spoke about godly children. Don't make their life difficult, because they're trying to lead you in the path of God. Listen and obey. But certainly, know that as they teach you, as you're learning now, take the things on board and decide for yourselves that you're going to serve God for all of your life and ask God to help you. Church members, are you on the fringe? Are you fully in? God wants you to be fully in. I started by telling you how Jesus' indictment of his own churches that are named by his name, is not a church building, it's people that he was speaking to. There is no sitting on the fence. There is no, I just attend meeting on a Sunday and that's all right. Do you go to church in the home? Even if it's difficult for you to attend now, be attached to one so people can connect with you, talk with you, you can ask them questions, they can pray for you, you pray for them. But certainly if you can, make sure every week you're in a church in the home, because that is where you learn and grow and stand your ground. This is the truth. I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm saying something difficult, but it is the truth. The Lord said in his word, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's not really you listening to me here that is the real church. The real church is when we're looking at each other like this, in small groups, in homes. Read your New Testament, you say that's the case. So that you can learn and grow together. That's the only time we can practice that. So if you're not doing it, consider that you could be disobeying God. And do something to change that. So you can be an overcomer. Leaders. And I'm not talking about those who have roles. I've already talked about them. I'm talking about everybody. Because we believe that a leader is anybody who has influence. And if there is even one person in the workplace, in the playground, in the school, or out there, or your neighbor, that you can influence for good, you're a leader. So get yourself trained so you can stand your ground. That's why we brought GLS here. It's not easy to run the GLS. But those of us, as soon as we realized the value of attending Global Leadership Summit in training ourselves to be good influencers for God, we never missed one. So this will be our eighth one. So don't say I attended last year, I've done it. No, it's a whole new teaching coming. So you should plan, and if you're a member of King's Church, you should plan to attend it every year. Except something extraordinary stops you from attending. Take responsibility to stand your ground. Our aim, may God help us, is to stand our ground. And when we've done everything, to be standing. So we can inherit all the blessings and escape that horrible fate of those who will be defeated. Let's read now together as I finish. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Let us pray.